Hear the beginnings of the good news of Jesus Christ from Mark 1, starting in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers for everyone." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." And immediately his fame began to spread throughout the whole region of Galilee. Let's pray. God, thank you for good news in a world of a lot of bad news. Thank you for promises. Thank you for love, for your grace, your mercy, and your redemption. And thank you for healing us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I have good news, and I have bad news. You already heard the good news as we opened the Gospel of Mark last week. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to put our feet on the right path, on the way, and that way is filled with good news. The way is covered by the ever-present Holy Spirit of God. But you probably just didn't even hear those last few sentences that I said, right? And you know why? Because I said, I have good news. And all you were thinking about probably the whole time that I was saying all this great stuff, well, yeah, but what's the bad news? Because we want to know. We want to know what's the bad news. So, okay, what's the bad news? Well, you know the answer already. You know it. Last week, we celebrated with great enthusiasm the beginnings of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And beginnings are always places of hope. Beginnings are covered with phrases like, "Well, this time it's going to be different." If you've ever been to church camp, you know what it's like to come home and be on a spiritual high, totally and completely excited about Jesus. But then you have to go to work at the bakery and deal with customers who yell at you about their slightly overcooked cookies and how their large Diet Coke had too much ice. And so you have to ask Jesus to go back in the back and sit by the sink. And you'll get to him later while you refill paper cups with less ice. This enthusiastic man in the Gospel of Mark who announced the way. You remember him, right? From last week, John by the river? That man? Well, he was this grand representative in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark of someone on a spiritual high, totally and completely excited about Jesus. Well, Mark 1:14 continues the story of all this good news, and it starts with bad news. Did you hear it? It's the first line of the passage that we read at the beginning of this sermon. Now, after John was arrested. And you're sitting out here listening to this story, and probably the first thing that comes to your mind if you're kind of just ticking along with the story is, well, when did that happen? What do you mean after John was arrested? You didn't tell me that. We were out here with John by the river, and last thing I know, he was eating grasshoppers. And now, after John was arrested, and Mark is so nonchalant about it, but he's not. He's not really. He's doing what Mark does, and he's doing what Mark does best. Because you're sitting there listening to this story as it's barely still getting set up. And then you find yourself with the question, wait, when did that happen? When did John get arrested? And you know what? And immediately, Mark has our attention. And he's doing this on purpose. Mark, doing what Mark does so well, is grabbing our attention. Just like a good storyteller. Because Mark is a good storyteller. And so that's what he's doing. He's bringing us in. He's saying, if you kind of dozed off a little bit with all the eating grasshoppers and locusts and wild honey and all that kind of stuff, let me pull you back into the story. Because the same man who announced the good news has just run into some bad news. And immediately, we are in the audience of this story. And immediately, as we are listening to this story, we elbow each other, nodding our heads, saying all the while, well, isn't that just life? I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. You do. You lean over to the person sitting next to you and you elbow them. I saw that coming. I knew that was going to happen. I saw it. I knew something bad. Something bad always happens in these stories. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain. Isn't that just life? John by the river, good news, is now John in a jail cell. Bad news. Good news, bad news. And suddenly, in only 14 verses, we're not even barely into the story. We're 14 verses into the story. And already, Mark not only has our attention telling us about John and Jesus and all of them, he has our attention because he has our lives. He has just in 14 verses mimicked our very lives. That we have good news, we have bad news. We have all this hope of this guy out by the river. It's, oh, well, that's going to be so good. And the very person who's giving us all of this hope, now he's in jail. Meanwhile, Jesus takes over the story. And that's where verse 15 comes in. And Jesus takes over the story by continuing the good news, so much so that now, according to Jesus, and the way he not only tells the story but acts out the story before us, now, bad news cannot overcome the good news. And it's because of what Jesus says and then what He invites us to. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Oh, thank goodness. I needed some good news. Because John, the kind of wild man in the story who's eating grasshoppers, I kind of got emotionally attached to him. And now he's in jail. I need some hope again. And so that's what Jesus does. Jesus comes in and says, all right, you saw this stuff with John the Baptist. And yeah, there's good news and bad news. But now, let me put things into perspective. Let me paint a broader, more sweeping eternal picture with this. I'm going to tell you good news, but I'm going to tell you good news of the kingdom of heaven. And what I'm inviting you to is repentance, that is, turn back toward God. Just turn to God. And then there's going to be more good news. And then back to last week. Are you ready for this? I mean, Mark, if you hadn't noticed already, is a fast-paced story. You can't fall asleep in this story. This is the action movie of the Gospels. You can't fall asleep during this one. But if you say yes to, are you ready, and are you ready to walk the path? Be realistic about it. Know what you're getting into. Because it's not all church camp and grinning and winning the lottery. That's not the gospel. Some people will tell you that it is. It's not. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that the good news is better than the bad news. But both are ever present. You see, the gospel is not just grinning all the time, acting like there's no bad news. No. No. Don't sell God short. The good news, the gospel, is that there's always good news and bad news. There's always John by the river and John in a jail cell. But the good news is stronger. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain. And you know who else is ever present? The Holy Spirit of God. And can you believe all of that is just in the first half of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark? But there's more. Oh, yes. Jesus then starts inviting people to come along, not to just believe the good news, but to come walk the path, to come walk the way, come live the good news. Even when there's bad news. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain. And that's when we meet the first character in this story who needs healing. The man with the unclean spirit. He says wild things. He rolls around on the ground. But then Jesus says something with authority, leaving us all amazed. Not just the characters in the story. They're amazed, but you know who else is amazed? It's us. We have already entered into this story. We're deep in it. But is the unclean spirit man really the first healed character in Mark? Or did we miss the real first one? Did you see the first character who was healed in Mark? It wasn't unclean spirit man. I think we missed it. I think we missed the first real character healed by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain. So let's never miss it again. Never again will we miss the first character healed in the Gospel of Mark. It's back up in 1:15. John is arrested. He's in jail. The very first thing Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark is a word so powerful that it has the power to heal all the maladies that we carry around with us. All these maladies we carry around with us in our hearts, in this world, even if that healing takes a lifetime, it doesn't happen overnight. Just because you set your foot on the path, doesn't mean everything is going to be just fine. And it doesn't mean that pain goes away. The pain's still there. You know what I'm about to say next, right? Joy and pain. Sunshine and rain. The first healing, when Jesus first spoke, was for the hearer,
of the story, who heard Jesus say out loud that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then Jesus offers the first healing invitation. Repent. That's the first healing invitation. And really, that word gets used bad sometimes. I get it. You know, repent, or else you're going to get it in the neck. Oh, man. Repent. Turn back to God, because there's a lot of good news facing you. Whole lot of good news. Repent really is just kind of another code word for it's time for a change. You ever felt that? You ever looked in the mirror and just said that to yourself? It's time to make a change. It's time for a change. First person healed in the Gospel of Mark is the person who hears and says, okay, Jesus, I hear what you're saying. I hear you say it's time for a change. I'm in. I'm willing. Just show me the way. And Jesus answers our internal pile of questions by showing us the first step to repent. The first step to change. At which point, right then and there, the first person is healed in the Gospel of Mark. Do you have those internal piles of questions? Piles. That didn't even cover it. I've got mounds. I've got mountains of questions. I've got Everest, K2, Himalaya mountains of questions. It's all right, Jesus. Okay, I'm in. I'm willing. So what's next? And then Jesus answers. And then the first person healed in the Gospel of Mark, right there before our eyes. Because right then and there, the first person healed in the Gospel of Mark is you. It's you. And then Jesus answers, believe in the good news. That's step one. Repent is just turn to God. And then really the first step is believe in the good news. And so you say, with great hope, just great hope, I believe. And just like that, the world and all the power of evil no longer has power over you. Oh, it's still there. It ain't going anywhere. It just doesn't have power over you anymore. Not like it did. It's going to come nag at you, and it's going to creep in. And some days you're going to wake up and look in the mirror and say, man, I've given in to this whole thing of temptation way too much. And Jesus is standing right there beside us saying, just believe in the good news. It's a lifelong process. You've been tempted by the wild beasts of hatred and all the bad things. Right? You ever been tempted by wild beasts? You ever been tempted by hatred? You ever been tempted? What time is it? 11? What are you doing at 10:45? 10:30, 9 o'clock this morning. Of course I've been tempted. But then we come tell this story. And Jesus says to all of those things in our hearts, be silent. Come out of him. Be silent. Come out of her. The bad news doesn't disappear, but it is certainly put in its place. And this is only the beginning. of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.